You have just entered the Katie Ma Podcast. Keyboard, plus mouse or die.
All right. Podcast today brought to you by kbmod.com, of course, the website behind all of this stuff. Go check it out. We've been posting a lot more over the last month or so. Posted a great video this week that helped me in CSGO from Cloud9's Nothing. Awesome video on how Spray works. So go check that out along with other stuff on there. It makes me sad when I see people come in streams and they're like, what do you mean GTA 5 was delayed for PC? And I'm like, we posted that, dude. Like the second it came out. Because you weren't checking kbmod.com. That's your fault, bro. That's your fault. Not to mention the million other news sites that had it. But come on, bro. Also brought to you by Multistream. The best way to watch multiple Twitch streams. Revamp coming in the next couple months. It's pretty damn good anyway, but revamp coming in the next couple months. kbmod.com/multistream. And, of course, PC Part Picker, the best place to make PC builds. Don't be like Mama Spoon and Skype me 15 Newegg links. don't be like him. use PC Part Picker to check out builds and that kind of thing. And that is it for the sponsors today.
All right.
That was very formal. But
I'm
going to take this time to informally welcome everyone to episode 157 of the KB Mod Podcast. The date today is September 14th, 2014. It is a Sunday, and there you go. So all you fuck boys telling me to say the date, I said it for you. It's a more intimate cast today, as Nick Fenton has passed out on the couch, and Brandon is watching Stained currently at a concert.
I believe so, yeah.
One of those things makes sense, and one of them does not. I'll let you figure out which one is which.
one of them's just not okay.
Yeah, that as well. That as well. but yeah, so we're here. We got me, John, Dan, and of course the blah. So what have we got going on? Let's talk about, because I know I have some stuff I want to talk about that happened to me yesterday. But anyone else before I go?
KB Mod stuff before we get started.
Yes.
Extra Life, of course, our marathon is in October. Yes. But holy Christ, bros! The Minecraft folks, not led by Aurelian, but kind of probably led to our team by Aurelian. They had a 24-hour marathon starting at 10 a.m. yesterday. They raised, let me check the Minecraft, they raised 90-some thousand, actually probably
Good
a little
Lord.
More.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, the team total now, our goal is 200K this year, which is double last year, is 126,279. That is... Wow. That is about 90% Minecraft right now, like various individuals and also the team. So huge, huge shout outs to those guys. You can follow them on Twitter at MinecraftLP, and you can follow their Twitch channel too, although I'm not sure how often they actually use it for broadcasts, but Minecraft Network on Twitch. So give them a follow on both of those. They went absolute ham yesterday. So, you know, shout outs to them. Tons of prizes were awarded. Captain Sparkles was on there, you know, Andre ZL, a bunch of them, Pyrow, all those guys over at Minecraft. But man, all we have to do is raise 74K, guys. That's all we have left to do. That's the only work that's left for land.
We just do it for like 2 hours and we're like, hey, you know what? We're done.
We
did our part.
Huge shout out to them. And of course, our marathon, October 24th through the 26th. All Sham No Wow's coming into town. Brandon is actually coming to Pittsburgh, which will be weird to have him in the office. We'll have to be on our best behavior.
Just make sure you line up the groups he likes and have them playing, you know, around the clock. Yeah. Buckcherry and all of them. So
now we're just throwing in groups important. He doesn't even like.
Yeah, it's charity, not self inflicted torture.
Everyone killing themselves.
For grand prizes this year, we have possibly two PCs from Newegg, one guaranteed, and it's like a themed build, which I can't go into details on yet, but it's pretty fucking sick. we also have a Wii U with several games for controllers. We also have a Corsair 300R case, which was just donated to us by... an old friend of mine and sort of the cast, Claudio from Spawn Trap, donated a 300R case. Yeah. And we also have a Gunner Optics jacket. Those are just some of the physical prizes, but we're going to have even more. We have hundreds of games, as usual. Although, you guys give us way too many games.
Also worth noting that the Wii U is actually worth owning now, even if you didn't pay for it, which couldn't really say.
Oh, because of,
before. Now it is actually worth having between things like Monster Hunter and Mario Kart and the new Smash Brothers coming out. It's actually a pretty fun system.
Yeah. Hyrule Warriors coming out very soon. So tons of stuff there. That's October 24th through the 26th. Also, I'm going to be running a stream on this channel on the 27th. A little crowdfunding for the Cali Boys to get them out to LAN. So come out for that. You guys killed it last year for that.
Yeah.
We're going to have a goal of raising 1,000 that day, and KB Mob will cover the rest.
Yeah, we got to talk about details for that too, Dan. But yeah, I mean, obviously I'll be on with you too, playing games and figure it out.
So
sweet.
September 27th, it's a Saturday night, so we'll be doing it that day. And that is it for our stuff. October 24th through the 26th. So
very nice.
There you go.
All right. Well, there we go. There's some more of more newsy stuff, but what about personal stuff? What? Come on, someone. Some Blacklight. What are some cool things that happened to you this week?
We went. Me and a bunch of friends of mine went to a Renaissance fair yesterday.
Always hype to be
nice,
super awesome and lame, and all those things that a Renaissance fair is. I actually had to spend a lot of time chastising Tyler Tino's 14 for being too cynical regarding the role playing. Like, they would come up to him and he would just kind of be like, "Yeah, I'm too cool for this," and I'd be like, "Tyler." It's a fucking Renaissance.
You're at a Ren fair. Yeah.
You have to expect some insane amounts of nerdery and butchered old English and just a general mishmash of like wrong era and like people dressed as the Assassin's Creed guy. It's part of the Renaissance fair experience.
You can't go to a Renaissance fair and then be too cool for a Renaissance fair. Yeah. That's not how it works. You're right.
That's exactly the issue. We did get to throw some vaguely axe shaped metal bits at targets. We got to throw some spears. There was overall a lot of mead to be had everywhere. It was a lot of fun. Went with a bunch of friends, and then we took a big group photo in which apparently my forearms look more jacked than they actually are.
I want you to do this right now. People are watching the podcast. Do the pose as best you can that you were doing in the photo. Because honestly, you have
look at that shit.
Something
along those lines, right?
Like those are good, nice forearms.
If I flex it, like it actually kind of looks less beefy. But if I relax,
those are nice.
I don't know.
See,
those are ridiculous.
This is why you watch live, to be able to get aroused to stuff like this instead of just listening. But
Because people who are listening, they didn't get to see that. Although it is available on Instagram if you need something in your spank bank.
No, that's really, it's so funny that you said that when I came into the Skype call, that's what they were talking about. And that's literally, when I saw that picture, your forearms just literally stood out. I was just like, good Lord, he moved to San Fran and the guy's just hitting the gym every day. Look at those. Look at
that's
those
actually arms. Not happening.
No, not at all. I don't go to a gym. I don't lift. Like, that's like, I exercise a lot, but I don't lift at all. Like, everything I do is like cardio, basically. So, like, I've lost some weight, but I'm not like doing anything to get beefy.
The ramen noodle diet dropped the weight quick.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe if you lose all the weight that you want to lose, you might actually just have a ridiculous physique under, like, you might not even know. You might not even have to hit the gym. You might just be not gifted.
I like to think it's all mouse movement. That's because that's all forearm. That's all. Well, actually, it's a lot of upper arm, too. It's a lot of upper arm when you watch John play because he has the lowest sensitivity of all time. Yeah. I play with overly high sensitivity, so I'm probably flicking the wrist a lot more, and therefore it's a lot more forearm
there
stuff.
There you go.
So,
well, that's nice when you're DJing the ladies' turntable. So that'll be.
Yeah. Oh yeah. God. When you're just Oh good. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Just spinning that sick, that scratching. Just,
DJ Poe.
Yeah.
So sick. Alp Fisher. Sick as
Sergeant DeLay.
Time.
Legit question, Sergeant DeLay. Are guns allowed on Twitch? They are now.
You get exception.
Gonna have to. I might have to toss ban myself. Just one amazing tip to get incredible forearms. DJs hate them.
God, the fucking clickbait. I can't. Yeah. I actually wanted to click on that, even though it's not a real thing, just the way you said it.
That makes me bring up, of course, the best YouTube ad that there is. I don't know if I brought this up on the podcast before. I brought it up in streams, though. Of the Asian dude just shoveling food in his mouth. Like, that huge, ad. Ripped Asian like, dude. Hey, gosh.
How you look a fucking pig? So, yeah, I can see that, actually.
That guy, I watched a bunch of his videos because someone linked me to him. I think my friend Corey did. And I was like, I can't tell if it's real, but it is. I mean, he's actually doing it. I'm pretty sure. I don't think it's a joke or anything. I think he actually eats that much and
well,
he works out that
grossest
much.
The grossest ad, though, because he's just like shoveling food in his mouth and then talking to you with tons of food.
Mike Chang, yeah, that's what it is.
And nobody
I mean, he's just he's making
true.
A point. He's showing that you will watch a slob.
Like, this is what you'll spend your time doing. Yeah.
Like, not if you're doing anything. That exercises all day, like you have to eat a ton. Like Michael Phelps ate like 20,000 calories of food every day when he was training and shit. I don't know.
Well, that's because he was swimming at like 40 miles an hour.
Well, this guy is apparently spending the rest of his time benching. Otherwise, he'd be morbidly obese.
Yeah.
So,
the guy is massive. It is just crazy. But yeah, like watch his videos make me like he's literally stuffing, like stretching his stomach to the point where he's like can't even barely. Like he's like just drinking it with water to try to like liquefy it and just get it down his throat.
God,
like,
oh fuck!
God bless him. I mean, you know.
Sound like right. Man versus food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is also
what about you, Dan?
Really enjoyable to watch.
Did you have any fun happenings?
Well, I got my PS4.
Nice.
I got NHL 15. And as we detailed last week, there's like barely any game types in it. It's like totally stripped down, which is like real shitty of EA, but it has the game modes that I give a shit about, so I've been playing that. I also started playing Hutt, which is Hockey Ultimate Team, which is basically a cross of CSGO crates and NHL hockey.
Oh, okay. Rest in peace.
And so basically the way it works, for those that don't know, it's huge in FIFA, like huge. There will be whole streams of, much like CSGO with case openings, there will be whole games of whole streams of just, you know, pack openings and, you know, case openings and things like that. So I got into that and someone just donated to me. It was like open packs, like here's money, open packs. So I went and bought packs, and the way it is you open packs, you get cards, and the cards are the players that you can use on your team. And, like, better players are more rare, of course, and that kind of thing. You also get, like, boosts for your players, like boost cards, like plus 10 to skating. And that lasts, like, one game, but you can use them. And you also have to have your players under contract. So they'll be under contract for 8 games. You have to get contracts from packs that will...
Sounds like crack.
You can extend them.
Like,
yeah.
Like much
yeah.
Like the, you know.
So I was like... The other night, I was like getting real frustrated because you start out with players who are in like the 60s rating wise, and or even the high 50s, like just awful, like not awful, but just like junior players and stuff. And that's what they start you with. They give you like a starting couple packs, and then that's like your starting team. You might get 3 NHLers, 4 NHLers, and that's it. So basically, then it's you've got to use your skill with shit players, like how good you are. With your absolute shit team. So then I ranked up a couple divisions and I was starting to get tighter and tighter games, but I was like 12-1-1 or something in my first 14 games with shit players. And finally I was just like, you know what? I'm throwing $10 at packs. I'm going to throw $10 at packs right now. It'll be fine.
No,
so I did.
That's not fine.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so I did. So. And I opened the packs. There's packs that are all gold cards, which means it's all NHL players. And so basically that's how you start building a really good team. And you hope you get, you know, a Sidney Crosby or something in there that is just super rare and ridiculously good. To put it in perspective, the guys in Division 1, which is the highest division, you can think of it as Hearthstone ranks. There's 7 guys worldwide on PS4 in Div 1 out of 60-some thousand players or something like that.
Oh, wow.
So those guys are probably really good. But yeah, so then I did that and people were like, oh man, that was hype. And some dude donated like $25 to me. He's like, open more packs. And I was like, this is how it fucking starts.
Yep.
Isn't
yep,
it?
Yep. It's exactly the same. Exactly the same.
Yeah. So I've been saying, when does Twitch pay me? It's soon.
More. Yep. Exactly.
Give me those packs, man. So I'm like, 18-6-2 now or something overall. So, I mean, I'm still doing pretty good. Teams are getting tougher to play against now, though. But I'm pretty good at the game, so online, which I'd never played those games online till this.
This is hockey knowledge, though. So. They built those games, so if you play the game like you're supposed to play hockey, you usually do pretty well.
Yeah, the puck physics and stuff in 15 are almost completely realistic. Like, you know, you're not... The puck just doesn't vacuum to your players like it did in previous games. Kind of like if they get near it, then they get possession. It doesn't work that way anymore. So a lot more realistic on that end. So that's been super fun. I also had... I've been playing a lot of that on my PS4 because I had no PC games to play. Since about Thursday night or Tuesday night when my hard drive with games on it just stopped spinning. So rippy dip, all my configs, a bunch of I think there was actually some pretty important shit on that hard drive too. But it's dead. So I had completely to reinstall dead. Everything. This was the first World of Warcraft reinstall I've had to do in a very long time because you can just move that folder around. For those that don't know, pro tip, you can just copy and paste your WoW folder wherever you want.
And it just works?
No registry.
I mean, it just works, yeah. No registry.
What about all your add-ons and stuff stay the same too?
Yeah, all that's in there, yep. Oh, wow. So I had to reinstall WoW, which is like a 28 gig download or something like that.
And it took 15 minutes because internet is so much faster than it was even 4 years ago.
Yes, that's true. But so I, you know, had to reconfigure CS:GO. I'll have to get COD 4 up and running again and probably rank up again, which actually would be pretty fun to do on streams. So didn't want to do it.
I think I'm getting time worded the fuck out of you. All sound like robots, so God bless me. Can you hear me still?
You sound good.
Yeah, you sound fine.
You sound perfect.
You sound great.
Oh my God. I can't even watch the Twitch stream right now. I'm about to test my speed. But okay, well, I'll try to get this back up.
Yeah. So my hard drive died, so I've been slowly reinstalling stuff. And today we had our Ultra Street Fighter 4 tournament on KB Mod, won by WAP6, almost a predictable win, as he has actually played in tournaments and things. But second place was Fat Attack with his retarded fuerte. And third place was Danny B, who plays Zangief. And he's extremely good, Danny B. Got some bad matchups with WAP, but it was super hype to commentate and to lose both my matches and, you know, run the tournament. It was super fun. It's the first time I've ever done that, so that was a pretty good time. Also played some CSGO last night in 10-mans, and that was a good time as well. My shot was a lot better because of that friggin' nothing video. That video is so helpful, man. Like,
you have to link that
go
to
watch
me,
it.
Because I am...
Yeah.
Real it's on the bad. Side.
It really does help a ton.
Because I didn't realize how far you should like pull down and then stop pulling down. Just start spraying, like basically.
Yeah.
Is what it. But he was showing the patterns, and it's actually a lot easier than your brain makes you think it is, or tips you've gotten from other people that have probably fucked up what
kind
you're
of been
doing.
Like misinformation, yeah.
So. Yeah, he put out a really good video there, and yeah, it really helped. I went, got some good kills. I had a three-piece with the USP, which was ridiculous. Insight. I'm probably going to cut that highlight because that was really hype. But yeah, so that was what I was up to this week. What about Scott? All are right. you alive?
I'm alive, but I can barely hear any of you. It sounds like robots. I'm doing a speed test right now, but I would have John... do all his right. thing for now so I can get this.
What have you been up to this week, John?
Mostly WoW. I've been, you know, our guild has been raiding consistently and, like, you know, playing the game seriously, and it's been a ton of fun. So I've been, you know, actually doing awesome. Things to prep for raid and stuff, which has been a good time. I actually played Strife for the first time as well. That's the new MOBA from S2, and it turns out that game's actually
new worth
yeah,
dudes
yeah it's the same guys okay. that made Han, and it turns out that game's actually pretty decent. I had a lot of fun with it.
Very cool.
But mostly WoW. Cool. A little bit of CSGO. Not much, though.
I would like to remind everybody, especially Arbo, that I showed up, raided once, and got a BOA. So
that did happen, yes. Blah showed up just for a garage kill. and he got his BOA weapon, which is like a 0.1% drop rate from the box.
I joined in for Black Fuse and Paragons.
Oh, Paragons.
I was there for a whole three bosses. Two and a half.
Well, we did normal 10-man last night instead of Flex, and we didn't wipe to like anything, so
Flex is supposed to be easier?
Yes.
And it, like, okay.
It's just the same mechanics on normal mode with more health on the boss, and like the mobs do a little bit more damage, but it's really the same thing. If you can do Flex, you can do normal.
How far did you guys go on normal?
Through Nazgrim.
Nice.
I forgot that I did Sunwell with Rotendo and Linz, who one of them had never been through Sunwell before, and we got the legendary bow. Off Kill Jaden.
Yeah, that's sitting in my shaman's bank, just doing nothing.
Yeah. So, God, man, going back through that raid just made me. Then I started watching all these old WoW videos during the week last week, like Hunter versus World and Grimm's Annihilation.
Annihilation. Yeah. I go back Hunter and watch the World was so good, dude.
Yep. I watched the Solo Skolo. Which she solos when Skullomance was a raid, she solos it at level with like she had the epic bow and the epic staff and like some tier 2 and then all PvP gear. It's just ridiculous. If you haven't seen those videos, they're really sick.
So that's like serious clever use of game mechanics.
Yep, the way she uses Feign Death and stuff is unbelievable. She puts like she'll put her pet on stay in like a doorway and then go upstairs like on stairs and make the boss path and then feign death and he'll go back down to her pet, and so she just makes the bosses take the longest route between two spots and DPSs them in between. But she had to like obviously plan all that. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So yeah, very cool shit back in the day on WoW. So Scott is restarting his PC. He will be back soon,
playing
Sea hopefully
of Swords right now, so
yeah, we'll see. But yeah, so that's what I have been up to this week. Let's see if he comes back here. We'll get
Scott's been
Scott.
Streaming Counter-Strike Global Offensive. I'll answer it for you.
Yeah, that's all he's been
playing
doing,
lots
actually
of CSGO. He had a euphoric stream where he did in fact unbox a knife, I believe.
Yes,
he did, because I was
did
watching.
Get a knife.
Yes, he did unbox a knife.
And yes, Dirk, Skolo and Strat were both 10 to 15 man raids back in the day, if you wanted them to be.
And they were both so good, and then they butchered them so bad. They're so bad now. Skolo is, in my opinion, a massive, massive waste, the way they treated that up.
Yeah, I always thought Skolo was pretty good.
Very
Strat
cool.
was always annoying. Just straight up and
Strat's living. Hard to be I upset like over.
Living runs were great, John, because it was like millions of dollars to do living runs back in the day.
Living runs were always like good, but not exactly. I don't know. I never thought they were very fun, but Skolo I thought was actually fun because it was like it was supposed to be a school for necromancers, and it actually felt like a school, like a college sort of retreat of evil. Like it was actually really good at being like this giant. It was like really evil Hogwarts basically, and you were storming that, and that was so fucking cool. And then this new shit is just awful. They streamlined it. They cut out half the instance. It's butt cheeks.
I'll just keep stalling here for Scott.
LBRS was the best.
Back.
I always
LBRS.
I hated the length it took to do, but I loved Ubers. Ubers was super fun.
I always thought LBRS was good. It was just laid out in the most annoying way possible, so no one ever wanted to do it.
Yeah,
like, it's no one ever got to finish. Cause
yeah, it was pretty not super fun.
You had to go through the whole thing.
Yeah,
to get to you couldn't not you couldn't like skip things.
Yeah, true.
Ubers was a lot better. Dracosith run. I was always the kiter on Dracosith.
Yeah.
You had to kite his ass. Like I would kite him all the way to the beast's room.
Yep.
And then feign death and let him come back.
God, I remember that because you needed time to kill the adds, right?
Yeah, couldn't handle all three of them at once.
God, remember that when you couldn't just AoE tank literally everything in the game?
Yep. It was a simpler time and a harder time.
It's funny. I get really nostalgic on those pulls at the end of Siege of Orgrimmar where you actually have to CC. There's one series of pulls right going right up to Garrosh. So this is literally like the hardest trash in the game. Is the only trash in the entire game that you have to CC, and it's really easy to now because like when you CC something, it doesn't aggro the pack, so you don't even have to like do it in sync with anybody else. You're not like, oh, sheep and freezing trap at the same time or anything like that. Like you can just do it whenever, and the pack doesn't aggro. Like, so it's still super simple and stupidly easy, but it's like it feels good to actually have to CC something.
Scott just updated us on Twitter. Rippy dip is what's going on right now.
Yeah, I think he's going to restart his modem now. So we're going to take a quick 2-minute commercial break, guys. If you never want to see commercials on this channel again, consider subscribing. $4.99 a month. You also get the Master Race emote, which is, you know, pretty sick. Still surprised we got it. Oh, yeah. But 2 minutes, and we'll be right back with a little bit of news.
I'm going to grab a beverage.
I'm going to watch more wrestling pay-per-views tonight because that's all I do is watch wrestling pay-per-views. I may or may not have subscribed to the WWE Network this week.
That's pretty excellent.
That's where I'm at in my life now.
That's where your life has reached. That's the point.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. My life, I can't really say my life is any better on the entertainment scale because I'm going to be playing A-Rams with a friend after this in League. So
you know what? You know what I realized, though, is that now that I have had the PS3 for a while...
Mm-hmm. PS4, you mean?
Well, the PS3, though, is my... It's, like, kind of my media player only now.
Oh, gotcha.
It's on my TV all the time.
Right.
Netflix on the PS4, WWE Network on the PS4. Basically, any video shit on the PS4 is so much better than any other thing. Or PS3, sorry, I kept saying PS4 gotcha. Then. On the PS3. The Netflix on PS3 is amazing.
Really?
It is. The interface is so fantastic.
Yeah, I've used it. I think it's pretty good. I mean, I just do it in browser. I don't have it.
It's far and away the best. And then Merpsy, thank you for subscribing. but like, I have a Roku upstairs, and I've used Rokus for a long time. And like, the Netflix is okay on there. Like, it's not horrible, but it's nowhere even remotely close to what Sony has.
Right.
And the thing is Netflix makes those apps. So like,
yeah, it's weird how much difference there is between the different versions.
I can speak to my PS4 to get it to do stuff, people theory, but I have it turned off.
But
I can use voice command if I wanted.
To be fair, like, I'm sure there are different people within the company developing those. So like,
right.
We have different people working on our iPhone and Android apps.
You gotta feel like Sony too was probably like, here's some money for the PlayStation app. Like,
yeah.
Like the Roku one isn't bad, but like it's nowhere near the PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
And then like WWE Network is like, well, first of all, whoever designed the WWE Network app, WWE, you gotta hire some folks because it's pretty fucking poor. The search literally does not work.
Ooh.
Like literally. Oh. So I'll search WrestleMania, and it'll just come up with like 4 matches from WrestleMania, like not a specific pay per view year.
Yeah,
like just 4 random matches. Like it makes no sense. If I search for the year 1999, none of them come up.
What?
Like nothing comes up. So and it doesn't do what Netflix does, which everybody is so familiar with. You know, I stop watching a show. Oh man, I gotta go. So I turn off, you know, Netflix. Right, yeah. Leave, come back, it's at the same spot where I left it usually.
Right.
Doesn't do that at all. You have to go back and then fast forward. The cool thing is on a lot of the pay-per-views, you can hit left and right flipper and just go to the different matches.
That's
it just
cool.
Has them like bookmarked, which is pretty cool. So I'm on WrestleMania 99 right now.
Nice.
Middle of the Attitude Era. Lots of swearing and random boobs for no reason.
Take your word on it. I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling growing up.
Well, that would have been the era, and your parents were correct. Well, I wouldn't let my kids watch the Attitude Era.
Fair enough.
Let's put it that way. It's pretty R-rated for the most part. Like, it's kind of crazy what they tried to get away with or did get away with. Fucking Al Snow, get head. is like his phrase. Like
the big Valbowski, man.
The big Valbowski, Val Venus.
Yeah, you guys were talking about him the other night.
It's a lot like the Rubik's Cube. The longer you play with it, the harder it gets.
I came, I saw, and I came again.
All this time, I thought my parents were telling me not to watch it because of violence.
No. Nope. I would let my kids watch early 90s right now at age 6. Like, no problem at all. Because it's PG, if not G-rated. Like, they weren't allowed to swear.
Yeah.
The same with now. They're not allowed to take headshots with chairs or anything now. No blood is allowed.
Wow, really?
Yeah. So
I think that, like, all they can say is hell.
Yeah. Like, that's it. You can't. Someone called someone else a bitch in a pay-per-view, like, the other day. And that was, like, crazy. Would you let your kids watch Trailer Park Boys?
Well.
No.
Have to imagine the answer to that one's going to be no.
Yeah. All right. Time for a little bit of news. We'll see if we can get...
some good news this time.
Apple Fisher, there is some rather large news this week. Which is all but confirmed. I have rumored in this, but it's way more confirmed than any of the Twitch rumors ever were. Like, this is like where there's smoke, there's fire, big time on this one. Microsoft, rumored to be buying Mojang for $2 billion. This is weird.
It's not weird to me. It is not weird to me that really? No. So if you look at Mojang, you look like Notch has stepped away. He's not really involved with it much anymore. But true. Notch is one of the only three shareholders at that company. So what happens is the company gets bought for $2 billion and he divvies all of that up between his employees so they can get theirs. And then those employees either stay, they go off and do their own thing, because he's not working on it anymore. It's like it's not something that he can baby if he's not directly involved anymore. So it just makes sense to make the people who helped him create it extremely rich, so they can either retire or go start their own things too.
Here's my deal. I don't think it's weird that they're selling. I think it's weird that Microsoft is buying. That's what I think is strange here.
For a company that's pretty much exclusively been PC until they ported Minecraft?
Yeah, I mean, but Microsoft is a company that recent acquisitions, they bought Nokia, which was weird, didn't make any sense either. Although it's coming out with some shit on Windows Phone all you want. They've got some pretty solid devices out now, despite the ecosystem being shit. But Microsoft Studios has been all but dismantled. So there is that, where it's like, hey, let's bring in some gaming talent. I mean, Xbox is no slouch as far as a division. So, but to me, I'm just not sure what they're trying to do here with Mojang. Like, what is Microsoft's angle on this? I don't see it. I don't see why they want this company.
So Sony doesn't.
Well, good point. That is a lot of the reason Google buys stuff.
They want it so other people don't have it.
That's why
Sony's also really getting really on board with like indie developers, which Microsoft hasn't been doing as much.
True.
And you can't really consider Mojang indie in strict terms anymore, but they still have a lot of that indie feel.
Yeah, definitely. So they have full control over everything.
Yeah, well, but, I mean, it's kind of like a sweet spot for Microsoft. It gives them like indie reputation without actually leaving anything in the hands of like these small, non-reputable developers. You know,
right?
They're kind of that perfect balance. So that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, Mojang is profiting like 200 and some million a year. So yeah. I mean, that's
for
not
now.
Bad
for now.
For now, yeah. At some point, they're gonna have to have another game. I mean, Minecraft's a juggernaut, no doubt, but at some point, you've got to have another game.
Unless they go the Angry Birds route.
They could go the Angry Birds route. I just don't know how you do it.
They kind of have as far as merchandising goes.
Yeah, for sure.
The thing is, you can't do like the paid DLC that Angry Birds does without pissing off user base, rather. Right.
Yeah.
Because people are just used to free up updates to that game.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't I don't think it'll change anything. People who are worried, I know there is, once again, just like there's a lot of buyouts, lots of trepidation and stuff. Minecraft isn't going anywhere. The only thing you could say is that in the future, maybe whatever crazy Minecraft sequel comes out or something, maybe Sony gets a lesser cut of that. That's the only thing I could see. But we have no details of if this has even gone through. For Mojang, it makes sense to cash out. Notch has always said that this is a temporary thing. So, I mean, he's always said, you know, Mojang is not forever. That's always been something he's been very frank about. So, you know, we'll see if it actually comes to fruition. He's been very radio silent on it, but, you know, no one's even, no one's speaking really, but this one seems pretty legit. So GTA 5, we've all been waiting for it, and we finally got some news on the PC version.
Womp womp.
But, the PC version has been delayed to January 27th, 2015. So you people who have a lot of free time, you'll have GTA 5 and The Witcher 3 coming out within like a month of each other. So prepare, you know, prepare your shit buckets, because you won't be moving from a PC for a very long time at that point. The Xbox One and PS4 versions, if you want those, are coming out slightly earlier, November 18th. Yet another game within that two-week window there. Rippy-dip all the wallets in the beginning of November. Far Cry 4, Assassin's Creed Unity, Project Cars, GTA 5 for PS4 and Xbox One, Warlords of Draenor. These are all coming out within 2 weeks of each other. So
only care about Draenor. And Far Cry 4, unfortunately. I have to play it. Far Cry 3 is just too good.
But there's some new content in these: additional wildlife, denser traffic, new foliage system, enhanced damage and weather effects, new weapons, vehicles, and activities are going to be in this version of the game as well. So, there will be new content along with it. I personally, in the post I put up on KB Mod, I personally think this is a good thing. GTA 4 was an absolutely horrendous port in every way, and modders made it into something amazing. But Rockstar's next game on PC was Max Payne 3, which is a fantastic PC game in every way. So if they take, you know, a page from the Max Payne 3 book, and it takes extra time to do that, fine with me.
Completely,
I believe Max Payne 3 was also a little delayed too, compared to the console version, but it wasn't months. It was like a couple weeks, I think. If we get a GTA 5 Max Payne 3 quality port, and we get some mods going, which of course there will be, legal or not with Rockstar, there will be mods.
Yeah.
This should be the definitive version that you want to get. Should be the PC version. And hopefully the multiplayer, you know, works. So,
well, based on what I played on console, it was pretty ass.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So I just, loading times will be good. That's a complaint I think a lot of people had as well. It will be higher than 30 FPS, I'm sure. I only had a good experience with Max Payne 3 Gray Scene.
Okay. That was great.
And it looks amazing. It's one of the best looking PC games there is. So a couple quick news hits as well. NVIDIA is skipping the 800 series, going right on to the 900 series. This was confirmed this week. There was a leaked press photo from Zotac. And these are rumored, I believe Brandon mentioned last week, in the middle of October, these are rumored to come out. The 970 is the card that we have a look at. I'd assume it'd be around $400, $450, somewhere in there. 4 gigs of video RAM standard on this. That's going to be the standard probably this time around. It'll be a beast. NVIDIA always comes through. This is supposed to be the one with the secondary chip on it for streaming and encoding and things like that. So we'll see how that works. No real details out, but the 970, 980, and 990, and I would suppose a 960 as well, will be out.
Give me that 980 Ti, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, there's supposed to be a TI version of that thing.
So, as soon as that comes out, I'm upgrading and dumping these 680s.
Yeah, going that single card route.
Yeah,
done with SLI.
Ain't worried about it.
So some news that's relevant maybe only to this podcast and its listeners. It's old school listeners. It's very old school listeners. Depth, which was a game that we were really hype on when it got announced. And we actually had the lead developer, Alex Quick, on the podcast on episode 38. We're on 157 now. And Depth comes out in November, randomly, out of nowhere. So it's coming out. The shark game. Sharks versus humans.
God, I remember that.
Yeah. It comes out in November. Yeah, the shark game. Everyone's like, yeah, the Tripwire guys. Yes, the dudes who worked on Killing Floor, some of them made this game. And yeah, it's coming out. Rock, Paper, Shotgun had an article this past week on how it's coming out. And their last look at Depth was 2011. So even before we had these dudes on the podcast in 2012.
Almost 2015. Keep that in mind.
Basically. Yeah. And Alex Quick, who we had on, he's still on my Skype. And I actually had talked to him in 2013 at some point. I just dropped him a line like, hey man, is Depth still a thing? Cause we hadn't heard anything about it since then. And he said, yeah, like, but I'm like kind of on hiatus. Like I haven't touched it in a while. So at that point it looked kind of pretty much in doubt. He said, yeah, I mean, we still have it, but we're not really actively working on it. So here it is. Yeah. Finally the payoff after 119 episodes of the podcast, we get a payoff. But yeah, it's coming out. No idea if it'll be shit or not. But Sharks versus Humans is still a cool idea. So hopefully it is good. New releases this week. There's some good shit this week, actually. ArcAge releases in full version on Tuesday. It's been in beta, which you could buy into forever, months ago. Korean MMO. You can use hang gliders and shit. I have not played it. I watched a few streams of it. Have you guys touched that game at all? I think both of you.
I played to like 33 in alpha. It's not bad. It's pretty hardcore economy based, which is kind of neat. But some of the changes that they made from beta to launch are less than stellar. So pay to win may be a phrase that a lot of people are using for it.
It's kind of more like pay to play at this point. They have had another update since, and I don't know if they fixed that at all. Because I was reading the patch notes, and I got about like 4 or 5 lines into the patch notes before I was like, I haven't played this game enough to understand what any of this means. So I honestly have no idea what the status is. I don't know if they like lessened the pain of their players, but when they announced the change to their pay to basically play model, there was a lot of outcry. Mm-hmm. A lot of people didn't like it, obviously. So they might be changing that. Don't know.
Yeah, so
Tryon's a good company, so if they have any say in the matter, they will fix it.
Yeah, so that's been out for a while. The PvP actually looks really cool. There's a lot of like in the city PvP, which doesn't really happen in WoW unless people are just ganking lobbies. Like it's not there's nothing no art to it at all. Also, Naruto Shippuden, however you want to pronounce
Shippuden,
that.
I don't know.
Ultimate Ninja Storm Revolution.
Oh, thank God.
Comes out Tuesday as well. I actually like Naruto, but I'm not going to get this on release because $50 is way too much for a Naruto game.
Do you like the show or you just like the games?
I like the show a lot.
Really?
Actually.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I watched it.
I actually heard the last game was quite good. I owned the last game.
Yeah, I heard the last game was pretty good.
And I heard it's pretty good. But yeah, it's $44.99 right now for that thing. The combat's pretty cool. It's like sort of combo based, like Arkham, but you can do a lot more like super moves and stuff. Of course,
yeah,
you know. DLC is so bad. Thursday, September 18th, Shadowrun Dragonfall Director's Cut comes out. Again, I'll say it again: if you have a laptop that can even minimally play games, Try out Shadowrun because it is a great travel game. Not at all in the same tone or style of The Walking Dead, which we know is a great travel game. But it is like turn-based XCOM type combat. And I really enjoyed my time with the first Shadowrun episode. This is the second episode. The first one's in Seattle. This one's in Berlin, I believe. It's kind of a sci-fi RPG. Lots of talking with people around, and then turn-based combat. Very, very cool game. So that got kickstarted. One of the Kickstarter successes. Just a very good game. Great art style. You should definitely check it out. So, Friday, more of the same. Wasteland 2. Wasteland was, of course, the game before the Fallout games. Kind of inspired them. Same creator. Wasteland 2, Brian Fargo's baby, which was in early access, was a Kickstarter. Comes out for real September 19th in full version. I had played a little bit of it. I've been waiting for the full version to come out because the ending wasn't set in stone, I believe, for a while there. So, but Wasteland 2, if you enjoy those type of games, if you enjoy the Fallout world, like, I can't recommend it enough. You will absolutely love Wasteland 2. Just super well done. Cool art, great combat. So definitely check it out. And that is it for the news section. Scott's internet is completely dead. He's not even on Skype now. Let's see. Let's see what he's playing. Let's see if he's playing a video game. I don't think he is, actually. Yeah. That 0.16 download may have may have ruined his evening.
That's impressively bad.
That is impressively bad for first world internet.
Really awful.
Yeah, like, that's awful. We're going to take a quick little, a little break, and we'll be right back. I usually listen to the podcast afterwards, but I love watching Scott's internet shit out live. God damn. Well, they got a new router, and that had fixed shit for a while. But I think Time Warner has taken its vengeance at this point.
They were determined to make sure that they did not podcast or anything.
Yeah, they were
because fuck those
dead guys. Set. Nick was probably trying to watch Netflix or something. In the living room, not gonna happen.
Nope.
You can watch these pixels. You like these pixels? Oh, dudes, I've been watching this. I've said this a million times. I'm watching this Avengers cartoon. So good.
Is it really?
Netflix. Earth's Mightiest Heroes. There's several Avenger cartoons on there. This one's the best one. Earth's Mightiest Heroes. They keep a story arc going throughout the entire first season, like, really masterfully. Right. I'm not familiar with the Avenger comics, so it probably is an arc from a comic, but
okay. It's usually like an adapted one. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's so good, man. It's not, you know, it's perfectly appropriate for kids and stuff. Obviously, I'm watching it with my son, but, it's awesome, dude. Check it out. There's two seasons of it.
Nice.
You really like it. Like, the voice acting is great. Whoever they got to play, you know, Tony Stark and that kind of thing. Is perfect. It's made me really want to read Hulk comics.
Some of them are pretty good. I actually read Hulk for a bit of a run.
Because the Hulk in the show is super interesting.
Yeah, honestly, the Hulk is not like the big, dumb fucking bruiser that you'd think he is from, like, right. Based on the, to a certain extent, the movies and based on, like, the old Hulk, like what he was when he was created. They've actually made him a pretty compelling character.
Yeah.
And he's, like, been through some shit. So, like, both the Hulk and Bruce Banner, like, they've made them pretty interesting. I got interested during the Red Hulk run because the whole thing was, like, nobody knew who the Red Hulk was, and he was just, like, the most powerful thing ever, and no one seemed to be able to beat him or figure out his identity. But then I ended up reading, I ended up reading a spoiler on it, and not only was it, like, okay, well, I've had the spoiler for it now, but it was also, like, really stupid. It was also, like, okay, here's who the Red Hulk is. I'm like, oh, that's real dumb. Not going to read this now. So.
Yeah. I've been looking to like see what the best Hulk storylines are, because it's easy to find, like, if you're searching like for the best, I want the best X-Men storylines. Yeah. And immediately it's like, you know, Days of Future Past, Age of Apocalypse.
Right.
Like, you know, these big ones all jump out. The Hulk ones, it's like random lists on forums from random people.
Right.
Like there's no articles on the X-Men ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like Batman, the Killing Joke, of course. And then, you know, like, the Bane storyline, obviously, with, you know, Bruce Wayne getting his back broken and all that stuff is amazing.
Right.
But it's very hard to find, because I was like, man, I'm going to go download some Hulk comics. This dude's pretty legit. But yeah, it's like impossible, impossible to find them. All right. Viewer Kesh Jones. We have more than a few tonight. This first one, APL was supposed to be on here, but he isn't. But we can actually probably pick some good ones ourselves. Boris Dog on Twitter asks, what event would you most want to see APL Fisher shoutcast?
The Papa TV Pinball World Championships.
Wasn't that on Twitch last year?
Yes, I would absolutely love to see Scott cast that.
Oh, my God. Do they even cast it?
Yeah, they do.
I watched part of it last year. It was in Pittsburgh last year, I think.
Papa TV's based out of Carnegie.
That's awesome. So, there we go. Pinball, I want the Westminster Dog Show.
Okay.
Shoutcasted by APL.
I would watch that, honestly. Adorable doggies and Scott just going ham, screaming about the dogs.
Can you feel it?
This is why we play the game. This is why we breed dogs for generations with horrible health problems. I would watch him shoutcast the Wing Bowl. The Wing Bowl, the like wing eating championship.
Like to see him shoutcast like an open heart surgery or something too.
Like up in the window where they watch overhead.
To a bunch of med students.
Yeah.
So. He's opening the carotid artery.
Just shouting all this stuff. We're like, I don't know how Scott knows all that terminology. Just like,
oh, he's punctured a ventricle. God bless.
God bless. Knew he was gonna do that.
Shoutcasting porn would be pretty good.
Pretty, yeah.
Like, there's many situations you could put him in. You just remind me of if you ever saw the movie Best in Show.
Yeah.
That dude, the dude who's real, like, not aware of anything, who's announcing in that movie, and just says like horrible shit and doesn't realize it. I forget who the actor is, but that is what Scott would be, but completely hype. Instead,
yeah,
I would like to see Scott. There's no site he could do this on without getting taken off for TOS. I want to see Scott live stream Scott watching Chatterbait and shout casting various Chatterbait streams.
If only there, yeah, that literally wouldn't work on any site,
because he could type shit in chat to get them to do things and then like shoutcast what is happening.
Yeah,
I think it would work so well.
I agree. I think, yeah.
That's an environment Scott would be really comfortable in.
Works for me.
I don't know what that says about Scott, but
a lot. But yeah. We don't have to go into it.
All right. Next question from Mike Latouris. Writes in. That's a crazy name you got there, Mike.
Oh, how'd you come by that?
Yeah, I'm currently in my third year at a well-respected university in America. All right, well, this semester, I purchased a management textbook and came across an interesting concept in the first chapter. John Riccitiello, CEO of Electronic Arts, the world's leading computer game maker, that's a blatant lie, is a serious gamer. Although it's certainly they spelled certainly wrong in this textbook. This is already a dubious textbook. It certainly helps that Riccitiello understands EA's products and its hardcore gamer customers. All of us are hardcore gamers, especially guys who play Madden.
Right.
EA succeeds not for those reasons, but because of his capabilities as a manager. After reading this propaganda, I couldn't help but feel utterly confused as to what to do with my life. Do I continue to attend class where EA is praised as a model company? Do I turn to a life of slanging rock on the corner? Or should I drop out and move to California, a la most of KB Mod? Your boy, Nuggets. He signed Nuggets.
You should absolutely drop out if they're saying EA is the leading video game company.
That is not a good program.
That's awful.
It's a blatant lie. I'm pretty sure Riot makes the most money at this point.
Valve.
Forgot about Steam.
I mean, Activision probably makes the most just because they have so many large IPs. But
yeah, true.
Probably.
And even them, you're not factoring in like a lot of the Chinese like mobile game companies and stuff like that as well.
I'm sure
EA does very well though.
Yeah. No.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Sure. Nobody's debating
leading
that.
Leading computer game maker.
I don't know about that. Also, who the hell calls them computer games?
Computer game maker. EA doesn't barely make any computer games.
They're actually pretty hated for not.
Yeah. EA doesn't succeed because it knows gamers. I mean, I would think that's actually not true, to be honest.
You know what? Maybe they got that title because they managed to break into the whole Tumblr meme with the Madden Gifferator.
This textbook has the Gifferator in it. Yeah. Clearly, number one thing.
It's the best thing to come out of Tumblr probably ever.
I think you should slang rock. I think
that's just always a good decision.
Just try it, you know? Just
lucrative
just for a little bit.
Don't get high on your own supply.
And if it's not for you, stop slanging rock. Just get out of the game. It's easy.
It's quite easy.
It's easy to get out, you know?
It's not like it's morally reprehensible or anything.
Yeah, once you're in that world, it's really easy to get out.
Oh, yeah, real easy. Don't take up any debts from a guy with one eye.
No, definitely don't do that.
Never do that.
Xander the Great, mate, writes, dear friends at KBMod, as an avid viewer, listener, and masturbator to the podcast, well, that's a first.
Yeah, I doubt it.
I feel awkward now. I've decided to ask you this question. Who in the KBMod staff and community gets the angriest, annoyed, and just generally upset when playing CSGO?
It's not even a question.
Me?
Dalesy.
Oh, yeah.
Dalesy's in chat right now, and that guy's just so fucking mad. Like, all the time. He hates video games. He cannot stand them.
I forget who tweeted it, but he was like, is Dalesy the social justice warrior of CSGO? Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah, he is.
No bitch guns. Basically, no bitch guns.
Scott Fisher update. Call to Time Warner support has dropped 3 times because of my shitty phone service to Sprint.
God, remind me to never move to LA.
John actually can get pretty mad. But he gets a sort of silent,
boiling
type of rage.
Yeah, I don't.
If John stops talking, that's when you know shit has gone. Like, if he's not calling anything out, he's just like.
Yeah.
And Aya is the maddest raid leader ever. He's just so angry that he's, like, so gentle about everything. He's like, you really shouldn't have done that. That was not a good idea to do that.
My favorite part was when Drake asked if we wanted lust, and I just have a hair trigger with that fucking bloodlust button. I just always want to use it. And he was like, and I hadn't raided in so long, and he was like, who was the raid leader, Drake or me? And I was like, I honestly don't know. I assume based on what you just said, it's you, but I didn't know that prior to the bloodlust.
I don't get that mad at CS. I just get depressed mid-game. Like, I don't get angry. I just am like,
I get like frustrated and butthurt that I'm so bad at the game. I'm like, I really like, want to be good at this game, and I'm really, really not.
Yeah, it is frustrating sometimes, but I just like if we're down like 13-1 or something, I'm just like, I'm either one of two moods. I'm like laughing it off, or I'm just like,
yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Like, it's not even, I'm not even angry. I'm just like, I do get super mad at Street Fighter. Super angry at that game.
I don't ever really get mad with TF2, though.
Well, you're nobody
beats
TF2.
You at TF2.
No, my fucking team is like 1-11 in ESEA because we don't play the game. We just like it's like 4 spies, 9 pyros, and an engineer rolling out to mid on Badlands. Like, how can you get mad at that? Unless you're playing against it, then you're angry.
Fair enough.
I haven't really gotten mad at that game though. Like, but Street Fighter, I get really angry. And the most angry I ever was at video games was back when I was an officer in WoW. I've never been a more angry person than 40 man raid leading. Was just like an exercise in having a heart attack at age 23.
We have lots of fun like, in our raids. You'd like it.
I should.
It's pretty relaxed. It doesn't hurt that raiding is way easier now.
Oh no. Nor like heroics and normals are just as difficult, if not harder, than they used to be.
Really?
Don't let anybody.
The characters are easier to play. I would say
the game is easier to play. The encounters still require the same amount of coordination.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I used to get so mad at people that I would just tear them apart in raid. It was real. Like shit, I would not do now at all to people. Like, I would try to help them, or, you know, if someone was bad back in the day, unless they were a warm body that we desperately needed.
Yeah.
I was always like the first one in officer chat to be like, get that guy the fuck out of here right now. Like, we had a whole channel in the guild I was in that was actually a world class guild. And we had a whole channel so we could just vent so that it wouldn't come out like in official channels, because it was a high level guild. So you didn't want any drama. Because drama is the killer.
Oh yeah.
In WoW.
Oh yeah.
So he also asked, who do you think in the community is the best CSGO player? I don't think it's a contest, to be honest. I think Tomb is probably the best.
Yeah.
That I've seen. Mainly because he does what he does on 300 ping when he's playing with us. And it's usually pretty ridiculous. So Tomb, I think, is number one. He's pretty fucking good. He also plays with pro players all the time, so there's that. At the Rex 5, Tomb sucks. Thank you, Dale. There's Dale. Do you want to see?
He's not mad at all.
The Rex 5 asks, what games are you most hyped for the rest of 2014? Warlords of Draenor. That's a big one, obviously, for me. And I think Project Cars. I'm actually super excited for Project Cars to have a real legit racing game that's going to look like God himself on the PC. That should be the best looking game. That game should win our best graphics this year. I'm going out on a limb predicting right now. But yeah, Project Cars.
I'm saying and Warlords and Far Cry 4.
Far Cry's going to be good.
I'm going to say probably not so much because of the game itself, so much as the people I have lined up to play it with. The pre-sequel, Borderlands the pre-sequel.
Nice, yes.
And it really does not hurt that I almost said Riot for some reason. Gearbox gave us the game for free at PAX East.
Yeah.
Because we attended the panel. And that was just
based Gearbox.
The best decision. They are just the fucking best. And also, I don't know if I'm even allowed to say this on this podcast, but Super Smash Brothers, absolutely.
You're allowed to say that.
Absolutely.
I've been playing PS4 all week.
I sold my PC to buy NHL packs.
I almost bought a Wii U today in prep for Smash, but I'm just going to wait until then and hope that it comes in a bundle.
It's worth it for Mario Kart. Mario Kart's so good.
Yeah, I'm waiting on bundles. I know there's going to be like a really good holiday bundle.
Smash bundle.
I would imagine there would probably be a Smash bundle. Like, well, I want to say that, but there's also never been a Smash bundle before. There was never a GameCube Smash bundle, or there might have been one on the N64, but that's so long ago now it doesn't matter. But there was never a Wii bundle for Smash for some reason. Like, I don't know why they just don't think it's a system seller, but it is. They might, though, this time around, because they've been generating a lot more hype for Smash 4 than they have for, like, really any other Smash game. So, maybe. I think there's a Mario Kart bundle, but I think at this point you'd have a really hard time finding one.
Yeah, they come out, the bundles come out like for like a month.
Very limited window. Like, if you didn't pre-order one, then you're going to have a.
I went to I went to go get the Mario Kart bundle, assuming this was like other consoles. I could just go grab one.
Nope.
Nope. Gone.
They're really hard.
It was gone by like July. So like early or late June. You could get them online for like $50 more, like from Amazon and various sellers.
Yeah.
But yeah. So their bundles are kind of weird. You know, I wanted to talk about Destiny today too, but fucking Nick is a fuckboy. Mm. So
yeah, I actually really want to play it, but you know, it's not on PC.
I wanna try it. I really do.
Me too.
I didn't really think anything of it. I didn't think it was bad, didn't think it was good. Thought that at least on Xbox the guns control kinda wonky. Feels a little bit delayed. Like it doesn't feel like Halo did. Like Halo was really smooth.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel that way. Visuals are phenomenal though. Like not like the models or the area where you are. It's more like the backdrops and the skyboxes and like everything is just, it's just gorgeous. It looks so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched a stream of it like all day, the day it came out. It looks like
good.
It looks like a Diablo type game, actually. Not obviously in the way it plays. It's a shooter, but
it's like, really repetitive. That's my biggest gripe. Like I had like 4 hours in or something. Feels more than that though, because like I don't know. There's something different about like having the variety of mobs coming at you and like having to escape, or if you overpull, like doing all of these things. Like there's constant action in that. Whenever you overpull too many mobs in Destiny, you either die or you just hide behind rocks and peek like around the corner. Like it's not like a constant action. It turns it into like it's weird. I think it's a game that you have to put a ton of time into to really enjoy it. But after 4 hours, like I don't think poorly of it and I don't think positively of it. I'm just kind of like, yeah.
Scott?
What the legit fuck? I am back. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh my just God. In time for like the end of the podcast.
Yeah, of course.
No, we got to go back to Scott's Scott's week.
God, wow.
Which we didn't get to hear about at all.
All right. Well, yeah, I was just going to talk.
How's Time Warner?
Time Warner is fucking great, as always. I literally dropped 4 times total. So I still have Sprint, which is fucking terrible in my area. So I dropped the call 4 times. She called me back 4 times, each time totally missing the point of what I was talking about, asking me what my fucking router is, if it's approved. I'm like, I've been through this. I've had this set up for fucking 2 months. Stop asking me dumb questions and tell me if my – anyway, whatever. So whatever. It's back for now, but there's a whole other story. No, but I went to the World's Tour with Nick and some other people, the Porter Robinson album tour, and it was absolutely fantastic. Cannot recommend enough if you have Porter Robinson coming to your town.
The album is so good.
The album's so good, and the live show is one of – it's in my like top 5 of all time, of any live show, rock show, electronic music show. The production is absolutely incredible. His live performance is really cool. He does a lot of stuff on drums, keys. He sings. It's just kind of like a whole journey through the album, and there's some shit in there that you'll never hear unless you actually go – live. There's so much stuff that I wish he would release, but it's clearly just for the live show. So it was really, really good. Can't recommend it enough. You know, teared up a little bit. Everyone did. You can't, all the feels hit you pretty hard. The openers that he had for the show, the second guy, Giraffage, who I hadn't heard of before, is really, really cool. Kind of really hard to describe what he spins, but really kind of unique stuff. So anyway, that's what we did yesterday. And then what else? What else happened during the week? As far as gaming, just a lot of CSGO. Lots of CSGO. And
didn't you play that Fingered Freddy fucking game or whatever the fuck?
Freddy got fingered?
I did play Freddy.
Movie with fucking Tom Green?
I don't even know what the hell the name of that thing is.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, that's shit.
Yeah, no, that was a couple weeks ago. I went on, I did that because someone donated to it. I mean, the fact, apparently it's getting a proper sequel, apparently, which is really, really hype. That's going to be great. Ask All Sham about what he thinks of that game. That that's just a good example of a game. I've ran it on this before on my channel, but I don't understand. It's crazy. The only thing that's more baffling about the Five Nights at Freddy's fanboys are the ones that come into the streams and tell me that I haven't fully played the game and I should keep going.
Yeah, you're
after like the first.
Them.
I think
was it last week maybe.
Yeah, I think we did cover this last week, so I don't want to go too hard. But my internet's working for now. I don't know. We'll see, but I guess
we had a question, Scott, and we all came up with ones. What event would you most want to see APL Fisher shoutcast? And we said various ones that we said were porn, the Westminster Kennel Club dog show.
Yeah, wow. Ping pong game, or, pinball
Papa TV World Pinball Championships and an open heart surgery.
That's cool. The open heart surgery.
I said the wing bowl.
The wing bowl. There's a Philly thing right there for you. Nice.
Oh, is that why nobody? God. Is that really only a Philly thing? That would be why nobody understood what it was.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a Philly kind of tradition. The wing bowl.
Wing eating championship.
Yeah, it's literally a championship.
But the wing bowl has actually brought to light a lot of famous food eaters, like Joey Chestnut's from the wing bowl, and he went on to be a competitive eater. Like so,
she went on to be.
I like how I know like the history of competitive eating. Like he's really good, dude. He always challenges like, that Japanese guy Kobayashi all the time. the only sport I really care about competitive eating.
Competitive eating.
I feel like you know about this better, more intimately than you know about Counter Strike.
That's true. No, but as far I would love to shotcast a birth, like a live birth. That's what I would.
Oh
love.
My That'd god, that would be amazing. Yeah,
that would be really cool. And because
transitioning to crowning phase here.
Yeah, and I would have honestly like no, because I've only watched like the videos. But as far as the technical terms for everything that's happening, other than the crowning, I'd just be like, I don't know what the calls would be. I'd be describing it as like I don't know, like if I was watching something, you know, like meat slabs and fucking all kinds of appendages, I'd be like, I don't know what's happening now. But it looks like a fucking horror film. Anyway, are you guys close?
I wanted to watch you shoutcast you watching Chatterbait streams.
That's meta.
Wow. Because then,
okay,
it would be like you could tell them what to do, and then also shoutcast that and award points based on it as well.
Is that a bad
idea?
I've actually,
but there's no site on the planet where you can do that.
I'm too scared to go on. I thought about going on Chatterbait just to like, because I've watched videos from Chatterbait just to see what it's like. I wouldn't actually have my image on there. I'd have like a troll image.
Cesspool.
I just wanted to see how bad it would be, but Oh, not Chatterbait. No, not Chatterbait. No, I'm thinking of one that's actually not always dicks. What's the one that's acceptable that people go on?
Live Jasmine? Like
Omegle.
No. Live Jasmine?
Omegle. Omegle. Thank you, John. I was thinking of Omegle, not Chatterbait.
Oh.
I was thinking of going on Omegle, but even there I was like, I'm a little scared. I don't know what we'll find. Maybe someday.
Yeah. Well, you know you can't stream that on Twitch, right?
Yes, no, don't worry. I would not stream.
So we're saying, don't peek, baby, don't peek. The baby is peeking. Thank you, Mike. Chat roulette.
Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, the one positive thing, though, that came from this Time Warner call is that she said that we have been paying for 10 up for the last 3 months, and we get 6 up. And she was like, well, that's a problem. So anyway, So maybe we'll get 10 up
someday.
Did
she tell you to let your upload rest for
she didn't.
Hours?
She didn't this time. I tried to bait her into it, but no. She said that they're going to look into it because my equipment's approved and everything, and it should work. And I was like, yeah, I mean, it is. I should be getting 100 down and 10 up, but anyway.
The internet does get tired sometimes.
It needs to rest, man. Let it. Give it a proper 8 hours and then retry. See if you can. Yeah. And start it off slow. Don't wake it up with something heavy like Twitch or YouTube. Just wake it up with a Twitter, maybe a light Twitter post, you know? Just maybe post to Twitter real quick. And then
if you pour some ZQL in your router, it might, you know, get a better night's sleep.
That's true, too.
See what happens.
Yeah, it's really good.
The baby's rushing down long.
Good lord.
Lower B tons.
Someone just opened Squeaky.
Oh, Lord. The analogies are real with Counter-Strike and birth.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Good lord.
All right. Last two questions here. Oh, Etch-a-Sketch writes. He also asked us for reasons why KBMI is better than 4chan, but that was
what I put on here. That's a whole can of worms.
And I said, listen, man, I talked to Mr. 4chan myself, and we both agreed both are pretty terrible. That's what we agree.
Okay. Fair enough.
For those that missed the with the celebrity nude leaks and Fox and everyone saying they talked to 4chan.
I forgot about that. Yeah. The entity known as 4chan they conversed with.
Like, it's just a dude.
Like one guy with legendary posts.
Today on the Glenn Beck Show, we have 4chan. All right.
Should have just been a faceless.
That's probably
dude.
A 4chan community member doing that all as a huge ruse.
Yeah, probably.
It's all just a huge ruse.
Who is this?
Mr. 4chan. Don't worry about it. Etch-a-Sketch writes, what is your favorite condiment to put on a masterfully toasted piece of bread? Oof. Sincerely, Etch-a-Sketch. P.S. I am hungry. There's a piece of bread and ketchup in the fridge. Send help.
Oh, God.
Nutella. And ketchup.
That's
Nutella. A piece of bread and ketchup.
That's
Nutella, John?
The answer is Nutella. Very good. I'm not saying that that's what I enjoy most. I'm saying that the answer is Nutella.
Yeah. Listen, sometimes... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. You go first, Paul.
Okay. I was going to say with breakfast, then, of course, Nutella does work. But if that's not available, a little bit of jam is always good.
What kind of jam? What flavor?
I like a lot. I like a lot of different kinds of jams, but like maybe like a strawberry.
Big into jams.
Strawberries are jams. Classic.
3, 2, 1. Let's jam. I had some strawberry jam with my breakfast this morning at the my local cafe that I like a lot, and it really like hit the spot for some reason. But also really good. Do a little tiny bit of butter and then cinnamon sugar over that.
Yeah. Oh, you stole my thing. Yeah. A good cinnamon sugar bread is like. Man,
like 90% sure
that's numerous condiments because you absolutely have to put butter on it as well.
Yeah,
that's true.
And cinnamon and sugar are two different things.
But you can, buy cinnamon and sugar mixes, which in turn, like you can buy like a bottle of it, and then that's just a condiment.
Okay, fair enough.
If you're mixing it yourself, like with sugar, and then you're sprinkling cinnamon from a shaker on there, then you're putting two condiments on.
Okay.
Tomb says he likes his jam with a piece of Dan. Dude, spread me on your toast, Tomb. Yep. So, spread me like your French girls.
Oh, wow.
I will say a really good, if we have to go one condiment, I'm going to go with really high quality strawberry preserves. Because then you get the chunks of strawberry on there. Oh, and that is just good shit.
Ben's a fan of preserves.
There's very little, There's very little I don't like on my bread. Now, I'm just going to share you. This is not the best, but I'm just going to share you a classic bachelor tip here. If you ever want garlic bread, but obviously, like, that's a lot of work. And to actually get a French, it's not really a lot of work. You just have to have the ingredients. Just butter a piece of toast, right? Make a piece of toast. Butter it up. Okay. And then pour garlic salt all over the top of it. And then you can dip that in your SpaghettiOs. And let me tell you. That right there, my friends, is a true meal. Is a true delicious meal.
Sounds like a ton of work, Scott.
It's really not.
I ate some SpaghettiOs last night.
Listen.
For the first time forever. Listen. And they had been sitting out too long.
Oh, really? Wait. They were frigid?
My wife had made them for the kids for dinner. And they were just like, we had left them in the pot. You know, it'd been a couple hours. And I heated them back up. Mistake.
Oh yeah, the reheat on the. I don't think I've reheated. Usually, I just
mistake.
It might actually be that you've forgotten that SpaghettiOs are really not good. Like
no,
we all remember them fondly, but they're not good food. They're really awful.
That really is a college tip. Yeah.
What we used to do in college was we got a Costco membership for the house, and we went and we got the Chef Boyardee ravioli, but we got it in like the 15-pound nuclear storage version. Like the can was the size of a tire. Like it was huge. And then we would just, this is the grossest thing ever, and I can't believe we live this way. We would take the top off, right? It's like a canned food, okay? And then we would just like put some plastic wrap over the top of the can, and we would just eat that fucker for like couple weeks. And it's just like,
I mean, at that point, though, how much worse can it get?
That's so foul by the end of like week two. Like that is just gross ass shit. Like
it's just, not even a question.
This is the thing. I have standards though. I don't just buy, like I buy, which doesn't matter, right? But Ralph's, like for a while I was buying the Ralph's brand, like if I buy like whatever, ravioli or SpaghettiOs or like the Chef Boyardee knockoffs. But then I realized I'm buying these like 79-cent knockoffs, right? Like, and I'm sure it's probably the same thing, but it's just a mental thing. Because at that point, I'm almost like, I'm probably eating, like, the quality of dog food, right? With this ravioli, with this beef. Like, it must.
It's kind of optimistic.
Degrade. Yeah, dog food may be a little too lofty of a thought.
But you're eating every time you go to Taco Bell anyway.
That's true. That's
true.
Still delicious.
And that's fucking delicious.
So I have this, like, weird thing where I'm like, I need to buy on brand, but I know it's, like, made in the same factory, I'm sure. Like, doesn't matter, but it makes me feel better about it.
it shouldn't.
No.
We have a SpaghettiOs review in chat from Taste Stuff. SpaghettiOs taste like Bob the Tomato's birthday. I don't know who Bob the Tomato is, but goddamn.
It doesn't have a really great tasting butthole, I'll tell you that then.
Yeah, we would have those raviolis, and we would have, let me tell you, I don't know if these are countrywide thing, I'm pretty sure they are, Sugardale hot dogs. Never again. Hot dogs. Oh. Never again. They're like $2 or like $1.50
for a pack. Oh, I've made that mistake before.
and they are.
Did they taste horrible Vienna sausages when you cook them?
No, they taste like a salt lick. Mostly. Yeah, that's like salt.
Yeah,
it's just like, and we would get those in like bulk and those raviolis and ramen and like so we're just basically eating salt. We're just preserving our bodies. Like Sugardale is there's not a damn thing you can do to a Sugardale dog to make it.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
Like, God damn, they're so bad. They're so cheap.
So I didn't eat Sugardale, but I ate like same thing, like hot dogs that were like on sale for like 89 cents a pack. And I was like, this is going to be great. So I tried to make one. I just literally tried to cook it. First of all, the texture never crisped up. Like I was cooking it in an open pan, like on high heat to try to crisp it up. It just wouldn't do it. It was like it was impervious to heat. So I was like, all right, well, maybe I'll boil it. So then I put it in. I start boiling it in water. And I cook it for a little bit. I'm like, I mean, it's already cooked anyway, but we'll cook it as much as possible. I put it on a bun, I put it in my mouth, and it has the consistency of like Vienna sausages that you just pull out of the can and eat. It was fucking mush, and I almost like vomited on the spot, and I was like, I mean, never again. Buy your high quality hot dogs, friends. Oscar Mayer, actually, that's probably not high quality. What is the best hot dog you ever had?
I like
best hot street dog street. I mean, street dogs are always the best. Like if you're leaving a concert or something, like I was leaving the Monsters and Men show in Oakland. And some dude just had like a street side dog stand. He was like making them on a portable grill. Mm. It was like $14 for a hot dog, and I would pay that shit again. Absolutely. Yeah. It was so good. It was like wrapped in bacon and stuffed with cheddar cheese.
Ooh. Oh, God. That's
so good. Nathan's are super good. Nathan's hot dogs. I think
Nathan's are good.
Ballpark all beef. Mm. Ballpark makes shit hot dogs. Like they make shit tier ones, but they make really good ones too. Get their good ones because Ballpark all beef are like unbelievable.
It's generally a rule of thumb that whenever you're buying hot dogs, you want to go with all beef because if they're not all beef, they are probably like basically tube shaped scrapple. For those of you who don't know what scrapple is, it's a regional dish located around Philly. They call it everything from the pig but the oink because it's literally just like the scraps and refuse that they like don't use. It's disgusting.
It's gross. It's not good.
It's
no.
It tastes.
But
no.
People are like,
"Hey,
come
but...
to Philly and have some scrapple." And it's like, don't put that on. Philly already has enough bad things going for it.
Get a
you don't even
hoagie.
Give them pig anus. Yeah, like it's not good.
Why like, would you?
Only in Philly would people slap that together, crisp it on a like deep fry it and crisp it on a grill or some shit, and then be like, "We're living. This is sick."
No, you're not
Look,
living.
Scrapple is not good.
You're ending your life.
I gotta say. TF Simon LOLs, this is why you don't buy chicken nuggets from fast food places, by the way. Mechanically reclaimed chicken. Okay, just think about that phrase.
What does that even mean? Mechanically reclaim?
Have you seen what McDonald's nuggets look like before they're nuggets?
Mechanically reconstituted chicken?
It's just paste, right?
Is that not the name of it?
It's a pink paste.
Right.
Yeah, it's like mechanically separated. They basically put like animals in a blender.
It's not cool, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked.
Like, get burgers. Like, you're pretty much getting some beef if you're getting a burger at most places now. Well, most places have changed to using actual beef. If fast food, I'm talking about. Don't ever fucking get chicken. Just don't do it, especially nuggets.
Someone's coming at me for saying that it tastes like Vienna sausages. I don't have any problem with people eating Vienna sausages. I've had them before. They're not my thing. I'm saying I don't want to cook a hot dog and then have it have the consistency of a Vienna sausage. That is a problem. That is a problem. That's all I'm saying.
Is this real, John?
What is this?
On CBS News.
What?
Oh, my God.
British teen.
So.
What?
British teen Stacey Irvine hospitalized after eating nothing but chicken nuggets for 15 years.
How is she alive?
A vast majority of her life, by the way, if she's a teenager.
I shared 20 with my boyfriend. But how... don't you need other...
How much does she weigh?
She's skinny.
Yeah, because
she would be
severely malnourished.
Yeah. Good Lord.
Are there photos? I'm scared.
Nah, I'm trying to...
Wait, pictures? She's... Wait, 20 freakish. Oh, this is another clickbait. God damn it! I just got clickbaited again. Oh, well. I gave him another...
Clicker bait.
Wow. It's so bad. I'm trying to see what they're saying she had like, problems with.
Like why she ate chicken nuggets for 15 years?
Don't get me wrong.
Doctors are, she had anemia and swollen veins in her tongue.
Oh. To be fair, I feel like if you ate any one thing for 15 years, you would have to be hospitalized for one reason or another. Yeah. I don't care what it is.
Well, when I was eating that horrible diet in college, I actually was like not skinny, but I wasn't getting big at all.
Yeah.
Because I was just wasn't getting right. anything. wasn't getting anything good at all. So I guess that's kind of how it is. All right, last question. This is on some advice on how to get started with streaming, but it's written by an Asgardian, it appears. Olaf writes, "Streamer titans of KBMod, we the Cretans of Twitch beseech thee." Which is spelled wrong, and it says beseech the. "Housed must mine and others alike channels grow to which its scale is as gruesome as thine own." I don't know if gruesome is the scale of our channel, but you know. Soylent is real, by the way, people in chat. Speaking back to the food real quick. Soylent is a real thing now. You can like liquid diet now. It's fucked up. Anyway, what dare I ask? Wisdom, can thy share from thine own noggin? Must we press forward and fight past the emptiness of chat? Much like our mothers press forward to keep loving us, despite our disgusting facial hair and fecal smell from thine own drawers. Fought long and hard to prevent herself from smothering us or our smut-filled minds and our sweaty nerd dreams, filled with breasts of awesome. This is degenerating quickly.
Wow.
Help us, KBMod bros. Thy are the last hope for the neckbeards of the north. For winter is coming and mine own mother yet plots to see an end to my treacherous self euphoria and sticky bedposts. Oh, Lord. Mine sword is mighty upon dawn, but I fear for its edge upon the cold months. Its mighty shaft known to shrink in the cold. I fear that is when she will strike.
This is actually really, this last part is well written.
So how, KBMod bros, can we Cretans of the North become more than mortal streamers? Sweatily yours, Olaf Drawer Dagger of the Neckbeard Clan.
Wow. Well, if you can rock a Viking beard and garb and talk like that for entire casts, I guarantee success.
Yes, play that character on stream permanently.
Pretty much.
If you had
Eloheim will no longer be Lord of the Vikings. As much as I love Adam, he doesn't talk like that, so.
I mean,
use that to your advantage.
That would be unique. I mean, there's that.
Very unique.
Also, stop masturbating onto your bedpost.
Yeah, you have better places to shoot
your wall. Wow, yeah, that's really odd that you would do that.
Like, come on, dude.
Do it in a tissue like everybody else. Throw that shit away.
Real advice, though.
Just stream. For a second. Who cares?
Just stream, yeah. If you start caring too much...
If you do it with the only intent of becoming big, you will stop. You have to do it because you like doing it. I think.
This channel is tiny. Like Scott's personal channel is tiny on like the grand scale.
Yep, exactly.
But it's fun, and you can still do well.
Yep.
Well as the community that you make. Like that's really the only thing that matters.
100%.
Some of our most dedicated streamers that put in the most hours for the littlest like monetary return. They're some of the most genuine, and they have the most fun doing it. And they're streaming to 20 or 30 people some days, and that's fine for them, and they do it as something that's fun.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And also play with other people that have similar interests as well. Like, I mean, that helps.
Network with other streamers of the same size as well. That play the same games.
Exactly.
Yep.
Really
do that. And I'd say another good thing, which is, you know, a tip we've been, be consistent. If like people know you're going to be live, they'll show up again. So have a schedule. It tends to work. And I think a big thing is getting used to talking with chat, even if, you know, when you're small, obviously there's going to be less chat to talk to. But I have seen channels of people in this community where they've got five people, but they're sustaining a conversation with those five people in chat. Yeah. And, like, that to me is the most fun part. It's harder to do, obviously, with games like CSGO where you're, you know, desperately have to, you know, engage. Concentrate on the game. But you know, if you're playing WoW or something, you can talk with those people and talk about whatever, talk about the game.
I think your schedule thing is really on point too. Schedule is so big, at least for me, like until I was actually consistently but if people know that they pretty much for the most part, if they check your channel at any given time or even around the time that you might start streaming, it fluctuates for me because of my internet situation, but consistency, it's so key. Which is weird because when you think about like Twitch and live streaming, you're kind of like, well, it's not the traditional, you know, like TV medium or whatever. But there's a lot of stuff that still translates. Like people like to know when their shows are on. You know what I mean? A lot of people watch Twitch instead of that.
Yeah, they build their day around it. It is a show for them, and they need to plan on being free.
Exactly.
Yep. And for instance, a good example of this working in reverse. And as Scott said, you know, Scott started streaming more consistently. He's really grown a lot since he started doing that. Is Cheddar Chez, who was really on an upward tilt and then basically had to stop. And, you know, now he would be at a lot less viewers now. Not calling out Chez at all. It's just a matter of he was really going well and he was consistent as hell.
Yeah.
Like he was doing it every night at the same time. And you knew what to expect in those streams. And he was really going up, you know, real life stuff changes, you got to stop. But that consistency thing is so huge. I'm not saying you have to do it every day. July nearly killed me doing that stream challenge. I know what Blah was going through during his month-long one. That's fucking hard, dude. Now I know, like, Lethal Frag and them.
You understand the scope of Lethal Frag streaming for 2 years straight and how insane that really is.
When August 1st hit, I was just like, I don't want to stream tonight. I'm just not going to stream tonight, and it's totally okay. Just take a couple days.
I know what it's like, yeah. That that one time in the last 2 years stream.
Yeah, you're really,
been pulling off.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. You've been doing those consistent YouTube uploads, too.
Well, those two,
really
those Zulcoms. Yeah.
So, there you go, guys. Yeah, Frag's godlike for doing that. I'm glad that he earned the right to do it on a normal pace now.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So
I don't know what's he does. He stream like 5 days a week now. I don't even watch him.
Yeah, he just does
3 or 4.
Nice. He does basically a 40-hour work week of streaming now.
The other thing I would say too, and this is not to discourage anyone, but I feel like because everyone has access to OBS and everyone can stream, there's a certain level of entitlement that people have where it's like, why am I not successful? But you have to realize you're doing the same thing that I don't know how many other thousand people on Twitch at the same time.
There's a million channels.
Well, exactly. And it's not even like in the beginning, just like YouTube, right? In the beginning, if you had a PVR, you were ahead of the curve before that whole scene blew up, right? So there's still a lot of people that were there at the right time. And there's a certain element. There's so many talented streamers, like John said, that have 30 or 40 people, and maybe they will get noticed and they will get blown up and they will get a light shine on them. And there's other ones that will stay around 80 or 100 and they really enjoy doing it. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's fine. But as soon as you get this, like, I deserve this mentality, and there's so many people. I'm not going to name any names, but I watch all kinds of streams like afterwards when I'm not streaming too, and there's a certain element of like I'm doing the same thing that this person's doing and I'm not big. And you have to realize, like, bring something unique to the table, and then also realize that that's not the only thing. There is an element of luck and you know, work on networking and stuff like that, and all that stuff helps.
Yeah.
But don't get an entitled mindset, because I feel like that's kind of poison, and some people do.
Another thing too.
Yeah.
Ooh, go ahead, Blah. Yeah.
I don't want to go into too much detail, but I basically deal with that mindset every day.
Well, yeah, that's your job, right? Kind of.
Yeah. It's not everybody, not by a long shot, but a lot of people definitely do have that entitlement. And why aren't you helping me? What can you do for me? And that's not how anybody else got big.
No.
Did they get help? Yes. Was it me? No. Was it? I mean, obviously, we're here to help, and we are trying to put out more tools for people to use to learn what they should and shouldn't do. But ultimately, you're going to be the one that decides your popularity. And I shouldn't just say you. It's not just you. It's a whole lot of factors.
There's luck so many
involved. There's connections. Yeah. The number one thing is networking. Become friends with good people who are also streamers, and that can just and forge these friendships. Legitimately forge them because you like these people. Don't just try to dick ride big players, because people will see through
that.
Nobody's gonna like you. Don't do that shit. But make some real friends who are streamers. Help each other to get bigger and grow. People don't realize it's not all about just bursts of I should, now that I'm partnered, I will have 1,000 viewers every stream. No, it doesn't work like that. No.
Yeah. Like, another thing about games, too, because this is a question that comes up a lot. He didn't really put this specifically in this email, but games, like, play what you enjoy, because if you're playing something, like, if you're just like, well, League's big on Twitch, I'll play League. Well, if you don't really enjoy League, it's going to show, like, if you're trying to do something like that, which, you know, I've struggled that many times. Like, I want to have variety, but, like, then I feel like, oh, nobody wants to see that. At this point, you know, like, the vast majority of my viewer base is not from, like, watching sports games, but that's, I'm going to play a lot of NHL.
Well, at that point, too, and the people that are diehards for you are already, you have to, people have to sign on for you, and whatever you do. Once you get, you know, once people are on board for whatever you're about, and you don't get tied down to, like, a single game, and there's some people that are tied to a single game because they're really good at it. I'm not a pro at Counter-Strike. I just, like, that's my favorite game to play.
You
and
love it.
And I love it. Right. I like playing it. That's why I play it. But, like, sure, like, people like, you know, like, I don't know, Bjergsen or whatever, or like, pro LoL players, they don't, they can simply play that game, and whether they love it or not, they're pros and people want to watch them. So you also have to separate that. Like, make sure people are showing up because they want you, and then you can kind of do what you want with it. You don't always have to play the same thing.
Yeah, a lot of people end up getting frustrated that they feel locked into one game. And that definitely does happen. The big trade-off is, like, there are, like, the smaller indie games that have, like, almost no exposure and nobody really playing them on our site. And, like, you might have your one indie game that you really like, but unfortunately that's not going to get you a whole lot of directory views because not a lot of people are looking for that, and it's going to be really low on the directory list. On the other hand, if you try to play, like, the most popular thing, League of Legends, you're dealing with a million other broadcasters who are doing the same thing, and then you're just giving yourself more competition. So it's kind of a trade-off either way. And obviously the sweet spot would be to strike somewhere in the middle ground, something that's, like, has a high demand but isn't that popular quite yet. But that's such a hard balance to strike, and there are other people also looking for that advantage all the time. Why bother yourself with that shit? Play what you want. Play what's fun. Otherwise, you're going to get burnt out.
Desperately important. Yeah, you're going to burn out really quickly. You're going to get tired of it. Like, and there are certain games that you're going to find aren't fun to stream for you, even if you like playing them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just experiment. Play what you want. That's what I would say. Wow, Daly just got shot at.
Get fucking wrecked, Daly.
God, we had... I think we banned 4 or 5 people today. The FGC never fails me. the stream monsters never fail to come through with some bans. But that is it for the podcast this week. Big shout outs to Time Warner for fucking up Scott.
Yeah, very
Sprint as well.
Yes,
Sprint as well.
All the services I have. Sorry, I'm just timing them out for 600 seconds to let them think about what they're spamming. So they're not banned permanently. Don't worry about it.
Sky Shark and Daily.
Just all day, man. All day.
But I hope that was a helpful discussion at the end there. But yeah, small cast this week, but we went for a pretty good length, actually. Solid length. It's good girth.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Good girth on this cast.
Very good.
Make sure you check out kbmod.com during the week. Podcast goes up on Tuesdays. We post various videos, stories, more quick articles, but we have guides as well. Streaming PC guide coming soon. A few reviews as well. Titty Titty reviewing a Rocat mouse and a few other things going up. And don't forget Extra Life, October 24th through the 26th. Put it on your calendars. It's going to be hype as fuck. We're gonna finish out that 74K. Damn it. It's going to happen. And we shall see you guys next Sunday, same time, same place, 10 p.m. Eastern. Twitch.tv/CabeMod. We'll see you next week.
Farewell.
Later, guys.
Peace.
No Nick Fenton to say yata.